Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We have a problem.
What is it?
Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men.
Of course they are.
Very interesting. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You can go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not even necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. So you know what it's time for? It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySups.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs when you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack is the best natural test boost system available today. Test X9 stimulates testosterone. T-Assist controls estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews from satisfied users just like you. And because Legacy are friends of this show, you can save 10% off your entire order at LegacySups.com now by using code K100. That's LegacySups.com. And the code is K100. It's time to level up with Legacy.
You know, Disco, you brought up the ultimate test stack, of course. I just wanted to say that I'm on the shredded stack, which is the Test X9, the X-Lean 5 Fat Burner, and then Recovery PM to help you get better sleep. And as I've said on the show before, since I started with Legacy Subs and everything, I dropped 25, 30 pounds. I'm feeling a lot better. I have a lot more energy, and I've had people DM me privately too to ask for my recommendations, and that's what I tell them. It's well worth it.
Here's the other thing. It's something that's working because people are coming back to use it and use it. We all use it. Like we've said before, there's nothing on our show that we're selling that we don't use ourselves. So this is really good, depending on what you're trying to do, whether it's for energy, for losing weight. Like in Joe's case, I bust his balls. You know, he looks better than ever. And this stuff works. You know, the proof in the pudding is people keep coming back and purchasing it.
And remember, just before we wrap up, that the K100 code for 10% off isn't just a one-time deal. You can use it as many times as you want. If you hit a subscription and use the code K100, you get 10% off every month or every 2 months, whatever your subscription is. So the code, it will never end.
So if you want to look fit and trim like Joe, or you want to have the amazing cognizant abilities of our boy here, the superior one, check out Legacy Subs.
And let's not forget that our listeners are using this product and improving their health. And as Nick said, we're like one of the number one markets for his products.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keeping him in business. And it's all to you guys. And it's a credit to you guys. And the more fit and healthy that our listeners become, the longer we can do this podcast and the longer you can be patrons.
Everybody wins.
But nevertheless, Nick is still on probation and he's still on the disco list. None of that gets him off of that.
Good decision.
I think more important than anything.
That's a fair decision.
All right. So get your Legacy Subs at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next one's from Masahita Escroto, and the subject is Disco and Sting. Disco, I watched your shooter interviews with Hannibal. The story where Sting got your back after seeing him at the gym was fascinating. I also read that Goldberg got a WCW job after Luger spotted him working out at the same gym. Would you indie guys ever show up at the gym looking for WCW jobs? Also, did you ever do anything to thank Sting for getting your job back? Would have at least carried his bags? Masahito Escroto. No, Sting just liked me thanking him. Me and Sting always got along. I was a member of Sting's gym for years, and I didn't go to the gym looking for a job. I actually went there to work out before I got into wrestling because it was a good gym.
This Japanese name sounds pretty weird to me. It sounds like he's trying to, in Spanish, Masahito Escroto.
Escroto, what does that mean?
Sounds like massage my scrotum.
Scrotum.
Ah, yeah. We want to suspend him for sneaking that in on us?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that a week for suspension. For sneaky, vulgar language.
Scroto.
Right. Next one's from Wayne Wanye. He spells it W-A-N-Y-E. That's not Wayne. That's Wanye. Grawlfine. Remember when Billy Body reported the Roman Reigns effect? Remember when Billy Body reported the Roman Reigns was going to be given both world titles so he could appear on Raw and SmackDown each week? Well, how did that one work out? Regarding Roman Reigns, do you think he's harming or helping WWE with his time off? We can all agree that he's maybe the best wrestler in the world right now and definitely defending the best heel. But when he's not around on SmackDown, the whole show just seems like small scale and lackey. Plus, all these talks about feuds with Matt Riddle, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, and The Rock seems like it's a lot of wasted time if he's going to do all of this between now and WrestleMania on a reduced schedule. And one more thing about Billy. If he's as rich as he always says, then how come he hasn't bought a microphone? He podcasts like a pilgrim. He's got a podcast set up. I've seen him on his other shows he does. It's weird. I see him podcast, and it's from a different location every time, but it's in like a fixed place.
Yeah.
But Billy reported that Roman Reigns would be taking time off because of he'd have a reduced schedule. So I don't even know. Like they wanted him, and he was on Raw and SmackDown. But he didn't say like he'd be on each week. It's like so he could be on both shows. So these guys are – bro, see people like – here's the thing about the Dirt Sheet guys, okay? Every Keller, Meltzer, Billy – Sean Ross Sapp, Ringside News, Raja. Every single one of them, when they post something, 40 to 50% of the comments are haters. Just going on there, oh, you're just like, it's, bro, these people, maybe it's just this thing of like, you know, the media, the media is our enemy type thing that Trump started years ago. You know, it's like, people just can't stand these dirt cheat guys. Like, there's just a collection of people that just cannot stand these guys. It's crazy. Well, what do you think about that?
What was the question?
I don't even know what his question was. Here, let me look again what the question was. The question was, you think he's harming or helping WWE with his time off? Well, every time he's on the show, it harms WWE, but like they've built a lot of other guys to do some entertaining television. So that's the question.
Well, obviously, you know, the guys – how old is Roman, Joe?
I believe, let me confirm, I think he's like 33, 34.
That's what? It? I thought it was like 38, 39.
Oh, really?
That's kind of young.
Me too. I thought he was like 38.
Oh, he's 37. Okay.
Yeah, 37. That makes more. Yeah. So it's a kazoo Joe for fake. Fake
oh, come on. It was a guess.
The producer is supposed to be – a producer is supposed to be more of a fact checker. Not a person with what do you call it?
But if you ask him about editor. Ring of Honor, he can tell you, you know, what your
what the time of the match. The yeah. How many, he can tell where the match was, who the referee was, what the star rating was in the time of the match.
Right, what they were wearing, what Wawa's they went to afterwards, what they ordered, you know, him taking pictures of them and buying food for all the boys with a replica belt.
Jesus. That's
speaking
totally
of buying food
true.
For all the boys. Who picked up the tab that time we went to the diner after the show with the Patreons?
In Philly?
Yep.
Philly Diner or Denny's. What was it? Was it?
Yeah, for you guys in LAX. Mm. Candy Fist Toad 8. The subject is Usos Future O. I'd love to know what Conan and Disco think would be a good way to keep the Usos fresh from now until WrestleMania. Personally, I think they're the greatest tag team in the world. Their match is really anything below four stars for me. At the same time, they've beaten every tag team in WWE like 2 to 3 times already. I'm not saying break them up, but I do think they're risking becoming stale very quickly. They're already feuding with Street Profits, which will lead to great matches, but they haven't had like 7 TV matches in 2022 already. So K100, what would you have to keep them fresh leading into WrestleMania? On top of that, who would you have them wrestle at WrestleMania 39? I don't know, but I'd say Priest and Balor. Are a good tag team that I would invest in going forward that you could do some TV with, you know, with Rhea there at ringside. So there's some other teams they haven't feuded with. They haven't feuded with Otis and Gable. They haven't. There's a lot of teams they haven't feuded with. You know, they're sticking with some of the same teams, but they can do good TV because they cut good promos. They can act. You know, you can do TV with anybody.
I can't believe
guys.
You think they're getting stale or that you would break them up.
Right.
They're one of the most overacts and always bring it and give great matches.
In professional wrestling, one of the most overacts. There's like you could have the conversation that the WWE fans and AEW fans would argue back and forth over who the best tag team is. FTR, Young Bucks, or Usos.
Mm-hmm.
You know that would be the kind of thing. All yelling, oh, this is Starman rating or whatever. But like the Usos right now, because of the fact they do excellent weekly television with vignettes, promos, they're every tool. I would say they are by far the best tag team in professional wrestling because they've excelled at all five tools that you need in professional wrestling. Next is from Fall Vampire, and the subject is Belair versus Punk. I got a question for you guys. Who's better between CM Punk and Bianca Belair? For me, and I was a longtime mega fan, CM Punk is very stale and lifeless, while Belair is full of energy, hot as F, very modern looking, and really have developed to a really good wrestler. So, guys, in 2022, what do you think is a better... Who do you think is better between CM Punk and Bianca Belair? P.S. Guy, do you really think it's wise for Billy to be doing a show wearing a Donald Trump t-shirt? We know guys don't like snowflakes, but you guys having Trump stuff on YouTube is just... this is how politically correct this guy is. You can be so... He goes, we know guys don't like snowflakes, but you guys having Trump stuff on YouTube is just retarded. I don't want you guys getting kicked off YouTube because I love the show. Why would he have a Donald Trump shirt? You get you kicked off YouTube. Who cares? If he was doing that, he was trolling everybody.
The only snowflake is you because you're getting upset about it. I never saw him with a Donald Trump t-shirt.
Didn't notice
if
it.
I did, yeah. I wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah. But the question is Punk and Belair. What do you think about the two?
Weird question.
I like Bianca because she's very athletic. She's getting really good. Okay. Her selling's good. But I don't think that hair thing, that hair whip is a necessary part of her character. Like she comes, it looks kind of, I don't know. It's just weird because no combat fighter would go out there wearing one of those things because the other person you fight against would just grab it and you know, stuff like it. So it's like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm a fan of her work. Cause she's, like I said, sometimes she looks too athletic compared to the other girls. And the match sometimes looks a little bit fake because she looks like she could snap these girls' neck with her bare hands sometimes, and the other girls can't keep up. That's the only thing I would say about that. What's your take?
She's not a combat fighter. This is wrestling, so we have different rules and a different universe. I think CM Punk has gotten a little stale, but I'd still pick him over her. It's too early for say she's better than him.
Punk is more of a draw than Bianca Belair. Like, if they brought Punk back to WWE right now, He would be higher on the card in a feud above Bianca, I think. Next is from Bill Wild, and the subject is Ryback ghosting K100. It's a question. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and JoJo. I listen to three wrestling podcasts nowadays, K100, Cornette, and Ryback. Beyond that, I've really had my fill of wrestling nostalgia and audio form over the past 5 years. Ryback has an interactive show where he goes live on YouTube and he asks me questions directly. I brought up his upcoming appearance in K100, something you guys have mentioned a couple times the last month or two. He replied that he wasn't doing your show after all, was just going to keep doing his own thing. He put you guys over, but it just seemed like an about face on everything both you and Ryback had been saying. Did something change between you guys, or is he just laser focused on his own stuff? Part two, I love Ryback's subs, and he has a successful business now. It doesn't seem like he needs wrestling anymore for financial gain, so do you think he'll ever realistically make a return? He's been candid about burying just about everyone lately, from the Beast with Mark Henry, Booker T, saying CM Punk tore his labia, and calling Vince McMahon's dead mom a whore. Personally, I love his presentation. I'd like to see him back in action. Do you think either promotion would take him? I appreciate your opinions. Stay lit. I mean, he's definitely got value still. He's not old. He looks good. He's just got injuries. You know, his back's not ready for him to come back. He could be in either company. I did not know this about, like, he's not doing our show. I thought we were trying to get him on K100 Talks to talk about his issues with Twitter.
Yeah, the
you don't
last,
talk about
last
it?
Time I spoke to him, he said hit him back up in like a month so that I'm going to try him again in July.
We'll try him again, because if you mention this comment on the other show, that's news to us.
Right.
And may actually find out why he may have said that, you know? So, I don't know. You got any comment, Conan?
No. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't want to do the show. He's a friend of the show, but that's up to him.
And he's still a friend on Twitter. He retweets my stuff. There's no heat, or there's never been any heat with Ryback ever, you know? Next is from John Roddy, and the subject is Pete Davidson. These days, no celebrity gets more online hate than Pete Davidson. He's a terrible stand-up comedy. He's one of the worst SNL cast members in history. Apparently, he's known for being really rude and obnoxious to people. Most of all, he's an ugly man who keeps getting the hottest of the hottest women alive. It's insane the quality of chicks that he gets. Should WWE do this with Dominic Mysterio? Dom can wrestle, but right now he doesn't really have much of a personality. Do you think that having him base a character on Pete Davidson, giving him a new valet every month, could help him become a real money player for WWE? I don't mind that. I think he's like, I think Dominic should be like should be trying to like hit on the guys that the Lotharios are trying to hit on and steal the girls away. Like, you know, bro, none of these guys ever fight over girls. You know, and like they got a lot of good looking guys and good looking girls on the show. You think they'll be fighting over girls?
Right. And you know they're dating backstage, and you know there's beefs between guys because of girls backstage.
Is it really? Give me an example.
Of course.
Like,
come
who?
On, of course.
What's going on these? Well, but I don't know any of these stories.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not going to throw anything out there, but just, of course.
Will you tell us off camera?
Yeah.
All right. Forrester Grillo is the next one. The subject is rebuilding Rollins. In my opinion, the best wrestler in the world right now is Seth Rollins. The past 12 months have just been banger after banger, from the Edge series to the Roman series, the Roman Reigns Show Stealer Rumble, to the soon-to-be-considered classic Cody Rhodes series. Booking-wise, though, Rollins has done the job in all of these. What would really help Rollins is a nice big win. So my question for Conan, Disco, and Madcap Feeney is, who's the right person for Rollins to get a big win over? Who's a big name for Rollins to beat without devaluing them? Personally, I think the Rollins versus Lashley would be good, but what the F would I know? Number one, Forrester Grillo, Rollins has not been devalued at all.
Yeah, I was just going to say
he gets his heat back in massive faction every single time. And when you're a heel, that's your job. You get good heat. You put the baby face over to try and elevate the baby faces. And he's doing a fantastic job. Ever since he's gotten into this Joker-type character where he's just kind of like an obnoxious prick, he's just been on fire. It's like he got away from the brooding architect guy, you know, the stuff we had no clue who the guy was until he started dressing obnoxiously every week and being just this loud guy in the room that's trying to get over and like laughs out loud, like laughs at his own jokes. He's a great character right now. And a guy like this, bro, a guy like in professional wrestling, all you want is to be given the type of material that Seth Rollins gets every week. He gets good in-ring promos, good face-up, backstage interviews, heat, wrestles every now and then. You know, he does the job, gets his heat back after the job. Bro, just imagine that if you could be a heel, Conan, and they're going to give you your heat back every time you lose. Like, who wouldn't sign up for that?
Right.
You know, right? That's all you want is just to stay hot. And if you got heat, like I said, you know how we talk about AEW? Where's the heat? WWE is doing a good job of building heat. They give the heels decent heat. You know, because they're always getting back at the baby faces to beat them, you know, so that I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I think
what do you think?
Rollins is at the point now where he's beyond losses really affecting him or his stature on the card, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about you, Conan?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and this guy devalued himself by making a dumb question like that.
Right. Oh, God. Here we go. I knew I would get the – this one half of the Jed Frankfurter and Ebony and Ivory podcast. Here's Mike Holder.
Oh, boy.
All right, and guess what he wants to talk about?
I have no idea.
Mass shootings and gun laws. Okay. What's good, guys? So I'll get out my question, then my explanation to the question. So he wants to ask a question and then answer his own question?
He might get
Get the kazoo ready for this.
He does that on Ebony and Ivory a lot, too.
When will we just continue to blame mass shootings on mental health issues? To me, it's more than just that. Both parties need to come together and make it more difficult for an 18-year-old child to buy two AR-15s and 500 rounds if he's hunting Autobots and Decepticons. This shit is not about taking away American Second Amendment rights, but where the F does this bullshit stop? Two shootings, 30 unalived humans. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Conan, didn't know you were a yeoman. I was a ship serviceman second class. Joe, get your eyes fixed. Thoughts and prayers. And Disco, well, I put you in the same category as Jed Frankfurter, a person that will sucker punch a person talking shit. Great job, guys, and was glad Kine Rock is back. Boom. Hashtag guac and ceviche handy. That's his hashtag. Okay, I'm going to make it sound stupid. What do you call it? Mike Holder. Okay? Here's my question to you. You said here's your statement. Both parties need to come together and make it more difficult for an 18-year-old child to buy two AR-15s and 500 rounds if he's hunting Autobots and Decepticons. Okay, and he puts in big capital letters, child, 18-year-old right. child. Okay, Mike Holder, you've been in the service. You're aware that the military, when you turn 18 years old, tries to recruit you to teach you how to kill people and use weapons. So that argument is ridiculous. Because they would be recruited. This is a guy that if he walked through the doors to the armed services and became an armed service, bro, think about this loophole, right? I'm not saying it's a loophole, but trying to diminish the mental health issues of mass shooters is ridiculous. These people, anybody that would just come and like walk into a classroom and shoot a bunch of kids, that's a mental health issue. Obviously, would we all agree on that?
Yep.
Okay. What if this happens? What if they make it very restrictive for people to get guns, young kids? But what if these same people? They're in the back of their mind. They want to be able to kill somebody. They just go into the service. They have guns there. They go walk into a place and like, you know, like, I wonder how many mass shootings have, we'll look this up too. How many mass shootings have been done by former military people? You know, people that were in the military. They had the guy that
Dorner in California.
And who else was the mass shooter one of the army bases
Just look up mass shootings on military bases.
Military
base,
yeah. But military, look under mass shootings by military personnel. Like look that up while we're talking. But Fort Conan, what do you think about what I just said?
Fort Hood is another one. Remember Fort Hood?
To me, the 18-year-old argument doesn't make any sense because if you don't want 18-year-olds to have guns, raise the thing for people to go into the army. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. All right, so go ahead. That's my opinion, though.
There was another one at 12 people at a bar in Thousand Oaks, California, which was a veteran.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but how many?
It says out of the last 10, three had military experience.
How many?
Out of the 10 deadliest, three were at the hands of veterans. Yeah.
Okay, so think about that. 30% of mass shooters, the 10 most deadly mass shooters, 30% of them were former military people, which were basically they were taught how to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like if you want to stop mass shootings, to me it would make sense to go towards the mental health aspect of the shooter because if 30% of military people have been responsible for 10 of the last mass shootings, to me that's like, okay, well, what are we going to do? What's the solution there? Because they could just go into the military. Okay, you know, so I don't know. It's like this.
It also says here, yeah, we hit that 3 out of 10, but it says on this site that at least 36% of U.S. mass shooters have been trained by the U.S. military.
So let me I'll make this a point then, right? Out of the four of us, all right, the odds of any four of us being mass shooters, the odds are greatly in favor of Coney and Mike Durbin being the mass shooters, or Mike Holder, because both you guys have been in the military. It's a good point.
It's an interesting take.
That's not a good point.
All right. What's your take on this?
Well, I just think that saying, oh, you know, you're going into the military and you can shoot guns. You just can't go into the military and grab a gun and shoot. You know, they have to give it to you. You have to have a reason. You know, the only time you're going to shoot is in in training or in hand-to-hand combat. You know, you ain't, they ain't just giving you guns and you can hang out. And one of the problems that I think that they have with military is you've got a lot of guys that go into the military that are gung-ho, I want to kill people, and they already have that mindset. You got a lot of people that are already mentally unstable when they get into the military. And the military, bro, it is not for the weak of mind, even though Joe thinks he'd go through it with no problems. It's not for the weak of mind, and they will test you, and they will fuck with you, and they will fuck you up. You know, they will fuck you up mentally if you're not strong. And you come out more fucked up if you already had mental issues, you know?
I think they would have pushed me right to officer.
It's almost like a jail. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. This is a thought. I had this thought recently, and I forgot about it. But now we're talking about this. It triggered – I remember this, right? What do you think about this? You know how, like, you know, like, honestly, there's a lot of, you know, in the military, obviously a lot of racists. That's like one of the problems we found in the military. Like, Conan, like what percentage of the white guys would you say in the military were racist?
When I was in?
Yeah.
80%.
Okay. So now, okay, but here, that sounds problematic, right, Joe?
Let me tell you, and this is actually when you would go, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, maybe I have. When you would go into the chow hall, right, which is where we ate, it was exactly like a prison.
Prison, right.
You had all the black guys here with the Latinos. You had all the white guys over there. You had, like, all the Filipinos.
Yeah.
You had all the, like, you know, weird guys that didn't fit anywhere in their own fucking table. You know what I'm saying?
Same as, like...
Really, that's how it was.
Same as
high
school.
Here's the point I
want to
bring up, though. Here's the point I want to bring up, okay? So now the military is getting more into diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? But let's be honest... Okay, and this is my opinion, just from a general perspective, what I think of the military, right? What the military is for. When I think about day to day activities, like in your town, you know, military and stuff. But I'm thinking, like, if we ever get attacked or have to go to war with another country, would you have a problem? These are foreign people. Would you have a problem with racists fighting on your side if you're being attacked by other people?
Would I have a problem with racists fighting?
So you weren't right. So the military is filled with a lot of race, but like honestly,
I just didn't hang out with them.
You kind of need kind of a racist mentality for if you want to find people to go kill other people and give their life for it.
I guess what
you know what I'm saying. It's like it's kind of like an angle you could look at. You know what I'm saying?
What you're saying, Di, is like say when Conan was in the service, he knows the guy's anti-Hispanics, right? Someone in his platoon or whatever. But will he trust him on the battlefield, or would it make you uncomfortable? Would be like, oh, this guy's supposed to have my back, but he hates everybody that's like me or looks like me or whatever. Like, would that make you nervous?
No, when you're in battle, bro, you're not thinking about that.
Right.
Everybody's. Yeah. Fucking like
everybody's
that,
fighting
like,
for the country.
There is no racism there. You're fighting for your life, and you got to
It's like nationalism.
You're on the ship and you're hearing remarks, or you're seeing certain groups hang out with certain groups, and they don't let you in there. Or like, I'll give you an example. My biological last name is Espada. That's my dad's name. He's Puerto Rican. My mom got married with a guy called Richard Ashenoff, and he adopted me. So when he adopted me, he gave me his last name. He wanted me to have his last name. So I grew up not having an accent. So people thought they didn't know I was Latino. And bro, and I would sit around in rooms with brothers, with Latinos, with everybody, and with white guys. And the amount of racism that I would hear from white guys was like almost 10 to 1 compared to any other race. They were just racist motherfuckers, you know, like I used to think, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right. Next is from that was an interesting conversation. Next is from Great Greatness, and the subject is crying. UFC hero CM Punk recently got an injury that required surgery and time off. And when speaking about it on Rampage, I'm going to call it Rampage from now on because you call it Rampage.
Right.
He began to cry. To me, I didn't notice that. He started crying. The entire thing was very weird because why was he crying? He wasn't giving the title up. He was just announcing he was taking time off. Plus, what the F is he crying for anyway? It's a fake title that could simply be booked to win again when he's healthy. So, guys, what do you think about when guys like CM Punk or HBA crying when having to give up a wrestling title? I didn't know he cried. Why? That's a good question. Why would he cry? Was that part of the angle?
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't.
But he didn't give it up.
He's like, oh, but, you know.
He just said he's having surgery.
But he's letting the fans down. that kind of
thing. Oh, is that what it was?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Well, do you think it was fake tears or your real tears?
Real.
Really?
I think it was real, yeah.
Wow.
How's he letting the fans on? He's injured.
Yeah, right. But that's probably what, like, oh, I wanted to have this great title run, but now I'm hurt and I can't keep
it. So you have it when you get back.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen the clip, Conan, where they say supposedly he got injured? Maybe that's why he's crying.
Yeah, because he dove into that crowd like an asshole.
Pull it up, Joe. Find that clip. Yeah. Where people claim that this is what caused the end. It looks like it's absolutely plausible. It looks 100%. Like, I would bet money, and I would give you odds that I guarantee you that's where he
I actually started. Thought it was when he jumped into the ring and
to
he,
the
like,
crowd.
Twisted
mean,
his ankle.
No, to the crowd.
No, but there was another part in the match, if you remember, where he jumped into the ring and slipped. And I think he might have twisted his ankle there or
his
knee.
Watch this, because there's a previous thing on this, all right?
Coming down the aisle from Chicago, Illinois, weighing 218 pounds, he is the new all.
Okay, this might be it.
This is it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. That was it right there.
Okay, let me see it. Okay, but if you got to show afterwards, keep playing this.
Yeah.
Now watch what he does, Conan.
The sold out T-Mobile Arena, the new.
I don't see him limping.
No. Watch. You'll see this.
Hell of a match, too, I can tell you that. He beat a fighting champion.
So watch what he does. He reaches down and grabs his foot when the FTR guys come out, and you can see him kind of limping down the rampway after he did this.
Speaking of tough champions, he's got some tough champions as his partner to open up this. A six-man, or if you will, a trios match.
You fast forward a little bit, Joe, just a tad.
And his tag team partners from Asheville, 143 pounds, they are the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
There he goes.
Dax Harwood.
Hey, he's feeling his... Yes.
Mike.
Yeah, he's feeling his foot.
I watch, he has a little bit of a limp.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like right after that, he was showing signs. And then in the ring,
he botched
there's a couple
few,
spots
yeah,
where he
yeah.
botched it. You know, he did a couple, like, he
yeah,
tried
he
to do a spring.
Might have made it worse. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. That's probably what happened. He may have tweaked it briefly, and then going through the match instead of resting probably exacerbated the injury. So next is from... what is this here? This is an interesting one. Ramon Sanchez, and the subject is Shafir on fire. Good evening, fellas. Last Friday, Marina Shafir finally went off on the fans criticizing her work on Twitter. At this point, I believe she's just being paid due to her name and her connection to Rousey. She spent years in the WWE PC, and I think that has less than 5 matches in NXT. We've all seen her awful matches in AEW. No, wrestling skills aren't sexually transmitted. She's married to Roderick Strong. Opinion. Should she just give up pro wrestling, or should she go and get experience in the indies? If TK lets her contract silently expire. Do you have this? Her comment. Good morning. I just want to say F every single one of you haters. You are not the reason behind my devotion. I mean, that's not the smartest thing to tweet in the year 2022, because what's going to happen? You're just like, what are the haters going to do when they see that tweet?
Right. They know that she, right. They're just
she got triggered.
Coming at you, right.
Keep coming at you. That's the type of, that's a toxic type of people that a lot of these fans are these days, you know?
Yeah. She needs to be put, you know, in elevation or whatever until she gets better.
There was a clip that I had. That we had talked about the way people act on social media, the wrestlers and everything, from a couple years ago, and she should listen to that, because it's like a how-to on not to let these people get over on you, you know? And you got to have thick skin. That's what they said. That's the problem. It's unbelievable how many people have such thin skin in the professional wrestling business, and it's a business where you have to put your body and your mind through a lot of stress just on the nail. Like, if you look at what professional wrestlers do, okay, it's fascinating to me that thin-skinned people think, oh, well, I can go do that. I mean, they must have a completely different vision of what this business is like than I did growing up, because I thought this was going to be very difficult, and it was, you know? And so I don't know. The next one is from
Zach.
Getting there, by the way. Still got about 10 left. Next one's from Zach Elbin, and the subject is Scott Steiner. Hey guys, I came across hilarious Scott Steiner promos on YouTube from back in the day. From what I've seen, he was wild as hell on WCW and didn't care what he said. He would shit on anyone and basically tell everyone WWF was better at the time. How was your reaction backstage whenever Scott went off? It was, you made people uncomfortable, to be honest with you. okay? But, and sometimes I was friends with Scott Steiner during this time. We'd hang out, like, and we'd go to the lake and stuff, everything by his house. You just have to tell him sometimes, dude, you're just too much. And he'd be mad. I'm like, yeah, but bro, everybody else is hearing it. Like, he wouldn't, like, it wasn't in his mind to think, like, I'm screaming at somebody about somebody, okay? And because I'm pissed, but look, everybody else can hear me, and it's not making them very comfortable. It's making them uneasy. He never understood that. You know what I'm saying? Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah, plus he had zero filter, and he didn't give a shit, you know?
Didn't give a – yeah, he's just – just look at the guy, you know?
Yeah, he would threaten people in front – like, today he'd probably put in jail for this, but he threatened people in front of everybody. Like, dude, there's witnesses to what you're saying. You do know this.
Didn't he threaten Terry Taylor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Multiple times, yeah.
I enjoyed those immensely.
Yeah.
Like Terry Shute was afraid of him.
Scott Steiner – could probably like make it in today's culture because he's toned down. The other Scott Steiner would be fired. He'd get railed by people on Twitter. The social media mobs would come after him and stuff like he would just get run out of the business for being too raw, you know?
Right.
Next is from Gary Hans, and the subject is MVP versus Jericho. This is interesting, by the way. Yo, Joe, I hope your eye infection spreads to your voice box. The next time you try to cut off our the next time you try to cut off our hero and leader Conan. How dare you? LOL, just plain. So wake up the news that MVP and Chris Jericho had some type of argument altercation at a hotel. I'd love to know your take on it. The whole line of Jericho saying I don't fight jobbers has to be made up. Jericho's one of the smartest wrestlers of all time, but he's gonna turn into a mark during a real fight. Also, if these guys did fight, who would your money be on? In 2022 I'm going with MVP. He's aged really well and looks like he can go on a high level. I would never bet against Chris Jericho because I've had conversations with him where he says he's the type of guy like this is what he said. He told me when he had his – remember when he got in Brock's face?
Yeah.
He said he was this close to just biting his nose. Okay? Chris Jericho's father was a fighter in the NHL. Just a guy that like, okay, let's drop it. Like, so he was taught fight for yourself growing up. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Chris fight, but he acted like he could fight. I'm pretty sure he probably can if he grew up with his dad was a fighter and stuff. His dad probably taught him how to fight growing up and stuff and all that. But MVP was like wasn't he a shoe fighter for a while? Did he do MMA?
I remember he won some sort of plus 40
judo.
MMA or judo. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, like I said, I wouldn't bet against a shoe fighter, but I wouldn't bet against Chris Jericho. I would not bet against him. Look what we did to. Okay, if you said Bill Goldberg and Chris Jericho are going to have the real fight, and like you did not know what happened, right? What would you think the outcome would be just by looking at the two guys? Well, Goldberg probably killed him, right?
Right.
It's like nope. Kind of the exact opposite. Jericho hooked him and wouldn't let him go, and made him look silly. So that's why, like I said, I would not bet against this guy. Would you?
Well, I actually spoke to friend of the show and our former boss, Chris. I live in a gigantic mansion and need a forklift to move my fish tank. And he has heat with that turtle. Remember that turtle that was on the road?
Yep.
Jericho.
Does he have heat for hanging out with me at the hotel bar and having some drinks?
Of course.
I guess you could call him.
When was this?
Friend of Joe Feeney. You could put that in there.
He's not a friend of yours. You probably gave him some free drinks.
It was after
up and slobbing his knob all night. Oh, Joe, you're the best. Chris, you're the best. Chris is way more polite than I am.
Huh? Let's do best Led Zeppelin songs 6 through 10.
Right.
Like, is it real? Yeah. Right.
Or he brought him a Chris Jericho poster he's had, you know, from ECW when he wrestled there.
There was no autograph.
Chris just ain't going to hang out with you, bro. You're not.
I was there.
So let's hear the story.
Frankie and Chris's invitation.
I can't see Chris going, wow, I'm in Philly. I got to call Joe and hang out with him.
It was him and him and Frankie. Yeah, they said, come on by.
Who the fuck is Frankie?
Kazarian.
Oh, they said, come on by. So he called you and said, hey, we're down here in the bar. Come on by.
We were in a group text.
You got him tickets, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, they got me tickets, too.
I'm sure it was in the text. Hey, can I get some tickets? Sure, whatever. Hey, by the way, where are you guys hanging after the show?
Right.
So here, come on by.
It wasn't them inviting you. It was you finding out and them going, you know what? He's been cool with us and he does a lot of free shit. Bring him in.
Right.
Yeah, Joe. Don't
story?
Please don't kid yourself.
I know.
Please
I
don't
just,
try to play us because
you had a
play
conversation.
Yourself.
I was just doing it for the show.
Cody, you said you had a conversation with him.
Yeah. For that weak attempt. So I had a conversation with him, we were talking about many things amongst them. I had just read about this MVP thing, and I was like, what happened, bro? And he said that I guess Chris had written some political statement on his Twitter. Exactly what
it was about, the election being fishy. You know, he was kind of alluding to maybe it was stolen.
All right. And that I guess MVP just wrote to him, delete this.
Right.
You know,
and Chris blocked him.
And so anyways, this happened like a year and a half ago. And he said that he was in the lobby talking to Matt Hardy, and that, you know, MVP showed up. Obviously, it must have been an AEW show because, you know, right, Jericho and Hardy are there. So obviously he went out of his way to look for him, and he went in there and he was like, you know, challenging him to a fight, to go outside or whatever. And Chris was like, bro, you know how the boys are at late at night. I'm in my flip-flops. I'm just chilling. You know that scene.
Right.
You know, you just, you don't want to be fucked with. You don't want to deal with nobody, bro. You just,
it's like you're trying to wonder, what did I do to this guy?
Right.
He wants
and,
to fight, right?
And, plus, the show's over. You're unwinding. Right. You're relaxing with your boys, probably having a couple drinks. You're in your flip-flops, dude. You know, we've both been there. And this guy's coming in and challenging him to a fight. And he goes, yeah, it was real grade school shit. And he said that as the elevator was closing, he said, I don't fight jobbers, and that he just went ballistic.
Oh. So. I'd like to you're friends with MVP because both of you guys got arrested at a San Diego Chargers football game together.
No, he didn't get arrested. I got arrested.
You did, okay, because they profiled you, which is good. But good job profiling you. I would have arrested you too. Why don't you get MVP? Why don't you text MVP and get his side of the story?
Well, he's on WWE, so that I can't see that happening.
Well, then why don't you tell one of your minions, Ray or Dominic, to get the story from MVP and relay it to you?
All right.
That's a possibility right there. You didn't even think of that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.